Today on Family Talk.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and I am sitting right next to a great friend, Dr. Joshua Straub, and we are here at the American Association of Christian Counselors in Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to be talking about Dr. Straub because he is an author, a speaker, and the president of and co-founder of Connection Group. Did I say that right?
That's right.
Okay, yep. Connection Group, which is a company dedicated to empowering parents and families. But we're going to be talking today about a great book, his new book that's coming out October 20th, and it's called Safe House. Safe House. It helps parents keep their parenting focus on the most important thing, and you know I believe this too, the emotional health of their children. Josh, welcome. Can I call you Josh or Dr.
You
Straub?
Call me Josh.
Josh.
I am Josh.
You are Josh.
Yes.
Welcome, and thanks so much for coming to Family Talk. You know, I just want to get right into this book because I love your book. You know, and I even love the cover of your book.
And thank you for writing the foreword.
You're welcome. I am a little biased about the book because I got to read it before it went to print, and I'm a strong believer in the concepts you're writing about. Safe House. What does safe house mean?
Well, it's I'd heard this a lot from my mother-in-law, who is the most affectionate mother-in-law. I'm hugely blessed with my in-laws. Mm-hmm. And she always talked about how her goal was to raise her children for her home to be the emotionally safest place on the planet
for
her kids.
Your mother-in-law said this.
My mother-in-law said this, that this was the emotionally safest place on the planet for her kids. And what was interesting is years prior to that, I had been doing counseling with juvenile delinquents and troubled teenagers and their families and focused in the area of attachment. My doctoral dissertation's in the area of attachment. I had been studying the area of attachment all these years, focused more so on couples and coupling and marriage and that kind of thing. And then I got married myself and I started having kids and I started to really begin to see the connection of emotional safety. And we talk about how we want to raise great kids. We want to raise happy, successful kids. But we never really define what that means.
Right.
Well, when you look at the scientific research on emotional safety and creating a safe home, it is linked to pretty much every outcome we would ever want for our kids, including a faith that sticks.
So how can you define to me or describe to me what emotional safety looks like?
I use this example. I think God gave us this example. Our son Landon, he was about 2 years old, a little over 2 years old at the time. And we really believe in the Deuteronomy 6 idea that Moses talks about of Hear, O Israel, the entire church coming around you as parents, as a family, to raise your kids well. And so I talk to parents a lot that if you live in an area where your parents don't live and you don't have family, we as the church need to come around and we need to do that.
Well, we need to find that.
We
family.
Need to find that. And you got to be intentional, prayerfully intentional about finding that those safe people. Well, we had in Branson, Missouri, we were living in Branson, and we had these safe adopted grandparents, if you will, mm-hmm. who watched our son every Friday night for us so we could go on a date night and focus on our marriage. And I remember we were dropping Landon off at the time, and I was carrying him into the house. And as we're walking on the sidewalk, we hear gunshots down on the left side of the house, down below in the property below. And Landon's going, boom, boom, dad, dad, boom, boom. And you're in the Ozark Mountains. You think people are just target shooting. It's no big deal. People do this all the time. And so
I'm not used to hearing gunshots as I'm walking to friends' house.
We're in the Ozark.
But it's okay.
Yeah.
So we go
into the house, and nobody ever told me this prior, but when you buy a car seat, there's a built-in laxative in car seats. Nobody ever told me that car seats come with built-in laxative. So when you get your son or daughter all dressed up, especially in the winter, bundled up, you're not more than a mile down the road, and they are just pushing, right? And so, common etiquette to not leave a number two lingering there when you drop them off at the babysitter. So I change his diaper, I'm washing my hands, I come out of the kitchen, and I take two steps out of the kitchen as I'm finish washing my hands, and I hear crack. And I look up, and we all froze, and there was a bullet hole coming through their wall of their house about 5 feet away from my head level, into their bedroom. And we all froze. We got down, and It was
Did
the
you
last.
Have your son right with you when you
he
heard it?
He was in the living room. Christy makes her way there. They get down on the floor. I mean, you were in Branson, Missouri. I felt like I was in Center City, Detroit.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me if you're from Detroit, but we have emotional bullets. Our kids. That illustration is so huge for me because our kids, we send them out into the world and they have emotional bullets coming at them every single day, from peer pressure to bullying to the social media that they're looking at to TV to no matter what age our kids are, there are emotional bullets coming at them that
all the time.
When we drop our kids off at a house, at a babysitter, we want to know that we're dropping them off at a safe house. I define a safe house as a safe place for taking refuge, emotional refuge. Because they have these emotional bullets coming at them all day, every day, our homes need to be the emotionally safest place in the world for our kids. And if we are not emotionally safe, it does harm to our kids' emotional and spiritual lives if those bullets are coming from within the house as well.
Yeah. This is heavy stuff. Where did this whole concept, you talked about your mother-in-law, but in your personal life, why is it important to you, Josh Straub, to create a safe home for your children?
It's a great question. I take this personally. I study the scientific research. I study how it proves the Bible to be true, but it always comes back to the personal for me. And my dad and my mom, they were divorced when I was 10, but they created for me, even in the midst of their divorce, created for my sister and I an environment from which my dad's been through a lot of major health issues over the past year. He had congestive heart failure. He's had 3 heart pump surgeries, nearly dying. And we drove 21 hours from Branson to Pennsylvania. We put our 6-week-old daughter and our 2-year-old son in the car and drove 21 hours to be by my dad's bedside. And I did that because my dad parented me in a posture of emotional safety. There was never any question of whether I can count
even
on
through the divorce.
Even I can count on one hand the I was a wrestler, and I can count on one hand the number of wrestling matches my dad missed, and that was because he couldn't get off work in time to be there at an away match. My dad was always in the stands, even through the divorce, and that stability for me was everything.
So emotional safety, what you're describing in your dad is having your back, showing you support, helping Josh be Josh, and helping Josh be a better version of Josh than he would otherwise be without your dad in your life. Is that fair to say?
That's exactly, and it leads right into the content to be able to, because I talk about 4 walls in the book, that we're parenting, we want to balance our children in 4 walls, and 2 of those walls are grace and truth. And the whole idea there is that we love our kids in grace. We balance them in grace. And the idea is we don't want any of these to get out of balance. If we're all grace, it's all about accepting. My dad and my mom, they accepted me for who I was. They loved me unconditionally, and I knew that. But I also knew that they loved me enough to not leave me that way. And that's the truth part of it. That they always challenged me, as you said, to be better than I was and to be a man and that kind of thing.
What did that look like in your life? How did they challenge you? What would they say? I mean, do you remember a point in your life when you were young and you were wanting to go down a direction and your dad said no? Because bringing truth into your home, I believe, means sort of being the tough guy, being the no man, putting your hand up and saying, no, Josh.
Yeah.
You know, in our home, you can't do that.
Yeah. And a lot of times this balances, and this is where it's a struggle in marriages too, and I see it is my dad was the softer grace person, my mom was the stronger truth person. And so that's where it balanced out in their relationship and in my relationship with them. And I tend to see this with my wife and I too, and you know, we have conversations, sometimes lovely conversations about these, because that's a hard part of parenting is getting that in sync. To answer your question, I can remember one particular moment where I got angry. I lost a wrestling match and I got angry and I threw my headgear against the back of the wall. And my dad quietly came out of the stands and he came over and he gave me a hug and he said, son, I never want to see you act this way again. I love you. We'll adjust the behavior later. I'm proud of you for who you are. and we'll talk about this behavior later. It was that balance of grace and truth. He put his arms around me. He told me he loved me, but he knew what I did was not the way
but
I should be acting.
But see the power in that. You can take the same message. I don't ever want you to behave this way again. I don't ever expect you to behave this way again. If he would have come at you yelling and screaming,
yeah,
it would have diminished all the power. But he came in love, which takes tremendous self-control, doesn't it?
Oh, and that's...
Grace takes a lot of self-control.
Oh, and that's... You lead into such a great part of this is... And I talk about that balance of those four walls, that the foundation of a safe house is a secure parent. It's the ability to be able to know our own story. And mm-hmm. and that's the cool part that I describe is we are co-authoring our children's stories. We all have a story. We're all part of a greater story. We're all part of the greater story of the redemption of the gospel, the creation, the fall, and the redemption of the gospel. And I want my son and my daughter to realize they're a part of that bigger story as well. Yeah. But our own individual stories impact how we parent
enormously.
And if we're not aware of how we were raised, good, bad, and the ugly, and being honest about that, we're going to just parent reactively rather than proactively. And that's the danger.
Are we afraid to see our story as we become parents? Do you think, are we afraid to look back and go, because I wholly agree with you, because if we don't look back and change habits, and we pick up all these habits from our parents because we do what what we're familiar with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
We don't do what we want. We do what we know.
Yeah.
And we pull them into our parenting. Are we afraid to look back?
I think that's a fantastic question. I think so. And I think for the most part, there's a lot of reasons for that. And one of those big reasons is we're afraid of blaming our parents, or we're afraid of dishonoring our parents. Because if we say mom or dad had messed up somewhere along the way, we're afraid we're going to hurt them.
Right.
You know, and so there's a fear of looking back and I don't want to dishonor, I don't want to disrespect. Or the fear might be the opposite of that. Mom and dad hurt me so bad. Mm-hmm. I can't stand mom or dad anymore. There's no relationship there that I don't even want to go back there.
We look at it as children, don't we? And in a child's eye, because we're still children of our parents,
doesn't matter how old you
are, it's really hard to hold anger and love side by side. We either love them or we're so mad that we hate them. And so sort of looking back and looking at our parents critically and going, you know, my parents really screwed up there, but I can accept it because I love them. It doesn't mean I have to break. That's really tricky stuff.
It's really tricky stuff. And I write in the book, I mean, there could be books and volumes and encyclopedias written about this very topic, but you know, one of the best ways to be able to really put your own narrative together as a parent, your own story, for me, it was counseling. I mean, I went to counseling early in my 20s because I didn't realize how the divorce had impacted. I'd always said that my parents had gone through a civil divorce because they were always got along. I never really saw them fight. And I realized that's an oxymoron. I mean, there's no such thing as a civil divorce.
But it tears a child's heart out.
Yeah. And I think I was the fixer in the family. I was the one who was the peacemaker and all that. And so I didn't realize how it was impacting my own life until I hit my early 20s. I got into my counseling program, started seeing some patterns and that kind of thing. And I think that's really where, for me, and some people, it might not need to be counseling. It could be a safe group of people in your church.
Some good friends.
It's got to be safe. They've got to be emotionally safe.
But you have to have a place where you can go and you can look with honest eyes back at your life and your parents.
Yeah.
And what came out of there so that you can parent better.
Yeah, and it's about parenting proactively, not reactively.
And
journaling is a great way of doing this as well. Mm-hmm. Even just journaling or writing letters to your parents. It's not that you have to send them, but even the process of writing a letter and talking to your parents, it's therapeutic.
Grace and truth are two walls. What are the other two walls to creating a safe house for our children?
The other two walls are exploration on the one side. Because research shows that the more we allow our kids to explore the world around them, the more self-confident and self-competent they are later in life.
Mm.
Exploration leads to that kind of strength in a child. But on the other side of that is protection.
Mm-hmm.
So exploration and protection. I want my 3-year-old son to explore, but I don't want him running out in the street and getting hit by a car either. So those walls over time have got to be equal. the problem in our culture today is that the wall of protection is becoming so high, and you see this with helicopter parenting and overprotecting and rescuing our kids from the natural consequences of their behaviors and that kind of thing. And so being able to balance that wall over time is really important. Mm-hmm. And so I set those four walls up to really as an easy way for a parent to go, are my tendencies to be too much grace and too overprotective, which leads more to a helicopter type of parent, which I confess that's my tendency, is I have a tendency to go that direction. And it's not that there's not a right or wrong here. This is really just looking at our tendencies as parents. Or am I an all truth parent who's also overprotective, who I call the religious parent? I don't mean that in any religion, so to speak, but more of a legalistic, I'm going to set rules and
you need to this you and need you need to do that. And I love the idea of the four walls, and that the two walls balance one another on each side of the house, because you're absolutely right. And what I find sort of happening over the past 15 years is parents are so timid of making mistakes or doing the wrong thing that they don't want to set rules for their kids. They don't want their children to feel consequences. And I find this is very odd, it's my own theory, but that mothers tend to do that more with sons than with our daughters. We coddle our sons, and that's why we have a lot of these 20-something men who we never leave home, because mom tries to make life so nice for them.
Yeah. What's interesting is the Bible says to leave and to cleave, right?
Yes.
We are raising adults. We are raising children who will become great adults. At 18, 19 years old, we want them to be able to launch and make decisions on their own without having to come back. And without, I mean, I love my kids dearly, but I'll be excited to spend my life with my wife
in those years.
And so
I was desperately afraid of the empty nest, you know, because I love being a mom. Yeah. I love being a mom. And when our youngest left, I thought, I'm going to fall apart. This is terrible. Well, after a month of crying, I looked at my husband and I go, now I remember why I married you. You're kind of fun and you're kind of cute. And we have more fun.
Oh,
and it's
amazing.
Great when our kids come and visit and our grandkids, but we love our home as his and mine. And it's so great because it's much better than it was the first time round before we had children.
Oh, that's so incredible.
There's so many wonderful, wonderful things to look forward to.
And you are such an example of that. You are living what, and my in-laws the same way, you are living what I want everybody, every parent in my generation to do. That's why I'm so passionate about this, because a safe house starts with a safe marriage.
Yes.
The greatest gift we can give our kids is to love their mom or dad.
Yes.
You know, you hear the phrase, do as I say, not as I do. That doesn't happen. Model, model, model.
Yeah.
And I always say this, do you have the marriage that you would wish on your children? That's my passion. I want our generation, my generation, to have marriages they would wish on their children. I want them to be the parents they would wish to their children to be. And that doesn't mean perfect. Mm-hmm. But what that means is being authentic, being real, being safe.
You know what I think? I think we're going to see in your generation, Josh, and I see this in my nieces and nephews, is that you've been burned by divorce. Hmm. You know, my generation said, oh, you know, kids are resilient. Kids bounce back. My kids are fine. My kids can do this because my ex-husband and I get along. And I say, no, 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 no. They're hurting. They're hurting. And they would really rebuff me when I would sit them down and say, if you go through with your divorce, let me tell you what will happen to your daughter in the next 5 or 10 years. No, 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 no. You don't understand, Dr. Me. I said, because they hurt. Yeah. You can look at this child and think your child is brilliant and tough and strong, but their heart is going to break. And I think we're going to see a very positive swing. And that those who grew up as children of divorced parents are going to say, we resolve to change. We resolve to just what you and Christy are doing. Yeah. We're going to live a different life.
I would absolutely welcome that. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, the true test of a moral society is the kind of world we leave to its kids, to our kids. And that's my call. And if we can have healthy marriages, we're going to raise a healthy generation.
Yeah, I believe you. I have such great hope for your generation. I believe you will leave more good things to your children than my generation left to you. We're the sexual revolution. We're the feminist revolution. We're the ones who started beating up men and saying sex is free and all that kind of stuff. Three primary pathways that we use to parent our children? What are they?
Yeah. We're going back to it. It's the grace pathway. Mm-hmm. And that is, you're going to do it anyway, so just do it. It's fine. Yeah, just go ahead. I'm going to give you grace. Just do it. Truth pathway is, I'm the parent. I said so. You're going to do it. The grace pathway, you're going to do it anyway, so just do it. And you're going to do it because I said so. Neither one of those truly engages the child's brain. It's just...
Well, they don't help. They don't work.
Yeah. And they work sometimes. I mean, for instance, if I'm so worked up as a parent because of something my son or daughter wants to do, I don't want to react. It might be wise in that moment just to go, okay, fine. If he or she's going to harm him or herself or harm somebody else or make a stupid decision, I'm going to go, no, I'm the parent. You're going to do it right now. There are moments to use those two pathways. But when those are our two primary pathways of parenting over time, which for a lot of us they are because they're the easier ways to go, we don't engage our son or daughter's brain in the process. And the whole idea behind emotional safety is that research shows, and it parallels with scripture, that when you live in a safe environment, when your kids grow up securely attached to you as the caregiver, it is the foundation and the environment they need for their brain to grow, for the prefrontal cortex to grow.
Like it.
Social control, behavioral control, self-control, emotion regulation, cognitive flexibility. These are the areas where faith sticks. These are the areas where they maintain monogamous relationships later. This is the outcomes we want for our kids. You are raising a generation of kids, and to do that, you're raising a generation of kids who understand and learn and grow and problem solve, but what you're doing is you're engaging their brain in the process. That's the safe house pathway. It's coming to invite them in to the problem solving. You want to do something. I don't think it's right. You invite your child in to collaborate on how can we do this together. And it doesn't mean you're giving up your authority as a parent. What it means is you're inviting them into the conversation to teach them how to problem solve so that when they are 18, they're not coming back when they're 25. There you go.
Exactly. Exactly. I love that, because that whole engagement process, it gets deeper and deeper and broader as the older they get. Because obviously with a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old, when my granddaughter goes to bite me, I can't say, let's talk about this. Like,
exactly.
No, you cannot get, and then she screams for her daddy, because she's a mean grandma. Josh, this has been so much fun. I can't believe our time is done.
Oh, yeah.
It's gone.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's been an
our
honor.
Guest has been Dr. Joshua Straub. His new great book is Safe House. I highly recommend it. The concepts he talks about there are biblical. They're clear. They work. I can tell you, I've been a pediatrician for over 30 years. I've seen this in play and parents using this without knowing they're using this concept. Safe House, how emotional safety is the key to raising kids who live, love, and lead well. Dr. Joshua Straub, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. It's been an honor.
Talking with Dr. Straub about this phenomenal book was one of the highlights of the AACC conference. As a pediatrician, a mom, and now a grandmother, I know firsthand how important it is to create an emotionally safe home for children as they grow up. As Josh says, parenting isn't rocket science, but it is brain surgery. Find out how you can give your kids one of the most important elements needed to grow up well. This book is just about to hit the shelves, and I urge you to get a copy no matter how old your children or even grandchildren are. On our website, drjamesdobson.org, we'll include a link to Josh's website so you can pre-order the book and even read the first chapter. You know, one element of a safe house is a strong relationship between a husband and a wife. But if you're a single mom or a single dad, you can still have a strong, safe relationship with your child. Before we sign off, I'd like to tell you about a wonderful resource that we have that can help strengthen even troubled marriages. Dr. Dobson's book, Love Must Be Tough, has helped hundreds of couples turn their marriage around and create homes ideal for nurturing the emotional health of every family member. This month, for every donation of $20 or more, we'll say thank you by sending you a copy of Love Must Be Tough. To take advantage of this exclusive offer, contact us today at 877-732-6825 or by clicking the tab at drjamesdobson.org. This is Dr. Meg Meeker saying God bless. Thank you for listening today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Who doesn't want to be encouraged to make their marriage stronger? Our new Family Talk iPhone app is designed especially to uplift your marriage in a way that makes it easy for both husbands and wives to find great resources. The customized Family Talk app tailors content around where you are in life. Whether you're a husband, wife, dad, or mom, the Family Talk app will provide you with daily inspiration to strengthen your marriage and invest into the lives of your children. Go to drjamesdobson.org/app to download your free customized Family Talk app today.